Right after I graduated high school, I went down to work at Templed Hills, the United Methodist Church camp located in Woodland Park, just outside of Colorado Springs. It's since closed, but for a good number of years, about four of them, Templed Hills was where I lived and spent my summers. I was a church camp counselor, was a summer program director, but most of all, I was living life and doing ministry in the outdoors, and it didn't get any better than that. I remember my very first day on staff there. The camp director, Gary Conover, United Methodist clergy person who's back out in the Carolinas now, but Gary was the guy that had the dirty jeans because he worked in them, the flannel shirt and the beard. Gary could always be seen eating a piece of fruit. He was just this total church camp director. And he gathered us all together, he hiked us up the side of a mountain, and he sat us down on some rocks, and I said, I want you to look at the trees. And that was the last thing he said for 15 minutes. I was a suburban kid. I didn't look at trees for 15 minutes at a time. Like, I didn't sit still for 15 minutes at a time. And there we sat, looking at the trees. And then Gary invited us to consider the beautiful metaphor that the tree really is. How it goes through seasons. There are times of new life. There are times of letting go. There are times when you think all life has ceased, and times where you can gather under its shade. He talked about how each of the trees must learn to bend when life buffets so that they do not break. He talked about how in prayer the trees seem to reach up and reach out constantly. We talked about how they provide shelter, not just for the birds that might make their nest or the squirrels that scamper beneath, but how even the buildings that we sit in are now shelter made from those same trees. We talked about the community of the forest and the relationship of how each tree needs one another. It was worth taking 15 minutes to look. And so we took some more time. When I worked at Templed Hills in that outdoor environment, one of the biggest things we focused on as a staff was the idea of stewardship of creation. Now, I'd never heard that phrase before. In fact, I thought stewardship was a four-week period where ministers talked about money. I thought it was sort of a season. You know, there's Christmas, there's Easter, and there's stewardship. I didn't realize that stewardship actually had a meaning. That it was about how we make use of and care for what we've been given. That's why that term is used when we talk about finances, because the stewardship we have of our finances is how we choose to make use and care for the money that we have. But that same idea is applied to the wonderful world around us. Stewardship of creation invites us to ask how we, as a part of this world, are stewards of it. How will we care for and make use of it? And what can it teach us? I want to make sure you take a moment at some point and read the beautiful quote in the bulletin. The idea that this earth isn't a commodity for us to maintain, but something we are a part of in relationship, was a beautiful thing to be reminded of this week. And this week we focus on the trees. I invite you, if you haven't had a chance recently, you may not take 15 minutes, but it's worth taking a few of them. Look at a tree and see what God might be speaking to you. In the words of the beautiful song shared with us this morning, we can see trees of green and know that it is a wonderful world. Trees have served as a metaphor in Scripture from the very beginning to the very end. Within the first few chapters of Genesis, we hear of the tree of life. And that same tree is at the center of God's new creation in the final chapters of Revelation. On the way through, most of the books in the Bible find a way to refer us back to the idea of life as we see it in nature. In fact, that's one reason I'm so grateful to have this tree up the entire month, as we invite you to weave your way into it. It is a symbol that reminds us of connection, of life, and of what it means to be rooted in something bigger than ourselves. Another one of those powerful metaphors the tree offers. I tell you, I was very grateful for last night's rain. Anybody else? I tell you, the church lawn is hurting. I've spent several late nights with John Ashley out digging holes trying to fix our sprinkler system. Every time we fix a broken part, the water moves further down to the next broken part. I've come home many nights very late, covered in mud. Oh, we keep working on it. But last night's rain. Oh, last night's rain's going to be good for so many things. You know, when I realized, though, with the sprinklers going out, that when that happens, the things that only find life on the surface, they're struggling. They're struggling. The things, however, that can find life much deeper, they continue to thrive. The deep old trees, its roots are as deep as the tree is tall, they found something to tap into. It's a reminder that life must be found in something deeper. Our scripture this morning comes from the book of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah writes these words in the 17th chapter. Happy are those who trust in the Lord, who rely on the Lord. For they will be like trees planted by the streams, whose roots reach down to the water. They won't fear drought when it comes. Their leaves will remain green. They won't be stressed in the time of drought, nor will they fail to bear fruit. This beautiful scripture reminds us that there are times we must reach deep, that what appears on the surface cannot sustain us. Jeremiah reminds us that God will bring life. And that is our invitation to take root and to trust in God. The imagery of bearing fruit, something that shows up many times throughout the New Testament. The tree of life that is each and every one of us. When God's Spirit is present, we bear things for the world to know. This is the gift of finding life in something deeper. I tell you, Jeremiah in this chapter, the 17th chapter, not only is inviting us to take root, but Jeremiah is contrasting this tree of life that's fed by the waters of God's righteousness. Jeremiah is contrasting it with something very different. I want you to hear the verses that precede. So this is actually the verse right before what I just read. Cursed are those who trust in mere humans, who depend on human strength and turn their hearts from the Lord. They will be like a desert shrub that doesn't know when relief comes. They will live in the parched places of the wilderness, in a barren land where no one survives. Oofta. I won't lie, I wasn't going to use those verses. You'll notice they're not listed in your bulletin. I was just going to focus on the life-giving grace, on the tree that thrives in God's blessing. Isn't that easier to talk about? Isn't that easier to listen to? Why focus on the withering shrub? And then last night, I was reminded of the brokenness of humanity. I sat last night and watched my Twitter and Facebook feeds explode with reactions to the Zimmerman trial, the trial that was in result of Trayvon Martin's death. Now, I am not a lawyer, and I will not try to comment on the legal aspects of the trial and a jury's decision. I wasn't in the room. Nor am I a legislator, so I'm not going to try to articulate insights about what it means to stand one's ground. I'm not going to have those conversations from the pulpit. But I am a pastor and I am a preacher, so I will speak to the brokenness of humanity, the brokenness of our systems, and the pain felt by so many as a result of this trial. As I sat contemplating my message for today and reread the scripture, I found myself realizing what Jeremiah was speaking to. When one thinks about the time Jeremiah did his writing, the audience to which Jeremiah was speaking, all around him, Jeremiah saw abuses of power. He saw systems that were designed to benefit some people, but not all people. He saw people who depended on the strength of their own human accomplishment for their identity and for their control in this world. And he worried about what danger that would bring them. It's important to note that when he said folks would be cursed, it wasn't a threat. It was a warning. Hear the difference between those two things. It's not a, if you do this, God's going to smite you kind of conversation. It's a, you know, if you do that, it leads to some things you probably don't want in your life. It wasn't a threat, but it was a prophetic warning to help people hear the dangers of what it is to simply live on the surface and grab at what we think brings us immediate gain. You see, Jeremiah is the same prophet who had to chastise people for crying out assurances of peace when there was no peace. It's a beautiful verse at the beginning in the 6th chapter of Jeremiah. You cry peace, peace, but there is no peace. To hear a Supreme Court justice just 2 weeks ago say that our country has changed from a time when systems and laws were discriminatory based on race, let's just say I'm appreciating Jeremiah's wisdom and critique at what it means to look honestly at our world and recognize when things are broken. But this day, I search for words of hope. And I find them in the promise of Jeremiah's tree that can reach deep into the life that God offers. And even in the midst of things that are chaotic around, even in the midst of difficulties and trials, the promise that we as God's people can reach into the love and grace that is offered and offer something to the world that is life-giving and fruit-bearing and sustaining. That's the promise. For God is pouring out grace and God is pouring out justice, and there are mighty rivers flowing in this world. The question is, will we reach into them to find life in ways that we can share with this world? Another one of our prophets, Isaiah, spoke of this. Hear the words from the 55th chapter of Isaiah. Come, all of you who are thirsty, come to the waters. Seek the Lord while he may be found, and call on him, for he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways, and the unrighteous forsake their thoughts. Let us all turn to the Lord, for God will have mercy on us, and our God will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven, they do not return without watering the earth, making it bud and flourish, so that it will yield seeds for the sower and bread for the hungry. So it is God's word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. It will not return empty, but will accomplish what God desires and achieve the purpose for which the Lord sent it. And because of this, you will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, and the trees of the field will clap their hands. God's word will not return without accomplishing all that God intends. It will feed our souls, it will nourish our world, and allow us to take root and to offer something to this world. Here we are, God's people. Here we are, living, growing examples of the grace of God and God's work in this world for justice. We are invited to be bearers of life in this world. We are equipped by God's grace to blossom and bear fruit no matter what the circumstances around us, for we have something deep to hold on to. And all of this is possible when we can trust in the promise and the hope of God as our source. May we be blessed and be a blessing as we seek to do so in this wonderful world. Amen.